Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Are you a financial advisor?
No, sir. I'm not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but we do publish Leibovit VR Newsletters, and we have for 44 years, and we do have model portfolios in there and market commentary, so well worth your time to read these reports. I've been fortunate enough to have been named Market Timer of the Year for a couple of years along the way, and I'm proud of the fact that I'm a survivor. I'm still here doing it after all these years and on all the market cycles and news stories and wars and COVID and all that's transpired, so glad to be on the show.
Yeah, one of the honors you received was you were the number one ranked in percentage gainer from the Vancouver World Outlook Conference. That's a nice little plaque, is it?
Yeah. That was a couple of years back, yeah. I guess. You do your best. You're not going to be right, obviously, all the time. But you know, if you're making money and on paper, you know, at least you know for the recommendations that are talked about, and you're giving out some good ideas. Like, for example, at the same event that you're referring to, I had mentioned that you were going to see a nice advance in crude oil during the year, and also a big move in Bitcoin. And both transpired, and these were announced in early February of 2022. So here we are. 2023, that is. I'm sorry. And, you know, we set a nice advance. And, you know, at the time, it didn't look like Bitcoin was going to take off. And sure enough, it did. You know, it didn't go up the next day. But for the year, and, you know, crude oil surprised a lot of people, too, particularly since everybody was sort of bearish on it. And we had this nice rally, and the stocks did well during the year. So, yeah, thank you for bringing it up. So we'll see how the 2024 recommendations work out.
So what's going on the stock markets right now?
Well, we did have a early Santa Claus and Thanksgiving rally. We had a low by coincidence. It was tied almost perfectly to the new moon, and we have this full moon coming up where the end of October, the market sold off, and you know, a little panic atmosphere, but normally we get those lows sometime in October or September, but this time was tied to a lunar cycle, and the market took off, and then the story tied to it, or the excuse for the rally, was that the bond market was upticking, and interest rates might be coming down now. Of course, the bond market is actually, in truth, more powerful than the Federal Reserve. I mean, the bonds really, you know, tell the story. It's the tail wagging the dog with regard to the Fed, so the fact the bond market started to uptick a little bit, mortgage rates came down a little bit. Everybody got confident that the Fed's not going to do anything more going forward, which may or may not be true. But the bond market chose to ignore that. So you had an explosive rally in the market here in the last 10 days or so. I think it got a little overdone here, got a little bit to an exhaustion level. We'll see how it all, you know, pans out. But normally, this time of year, you know, with Thanksgiving, they call it a turkey shoot. The day before, the day after Thanksgiving, which would be the 22nd and 24th of the month, markets tend to have a strong day. Then of course you got the Santa Claus rally, and then the big cyclical event for me was the solstice coming up on December 21st, 22nd. So will the market rally into that point, or have already peaked out and sell off to that point? And that's just a good time frame to keep an eye on. So it's been in a rally phase. I can't tell you how high. There's in the S&P, there's some resistance around the 4,500 to 4,550 level. If we get through that, then you can sort of pick your number. I mean, you can talk 4,800, you can talk 5,300. I mean, it depends how excited participants get. We have a lot of shorts out there, a lot of bearish analysts, and for good reason, because most stocks really have not done well. And I'll get into that in just a second, but we start getting some serious short covering here. Who knows how high it could really go, and that could unfold as well. The opposite side of the coin is, and I might be contradicting myself here, which I don't mean to, but there could be some tax loss selling too, because of most stocks, I believe I mentioned this before in the Russell 3000, more than half the stocks are down for the year, even though, the indexes are up and everybody got excited about the Magnificent Seven stocks, the big name stocks, for like Netflix and Microsoft and the NVIDIA and so forth. There could be, quite a bit of volatility in both directions. You get a big spike up, a big spike down, and we'll just have to watch the action. But, optimism, I think, is running prematurely high. The bond market says interest rates are coming down, which may only be a temporary event. We don't know how long that's really going to last, and we don't know what the Fed's going to do next year. So, enjoy it while it lasts. There seems to be a lot of bullish sentiment out right now with the holidays. And if you can trade it, I would do so. But, come January 1st, it could be a different story. So we really just have to measure it, Jim, day by day here. For example, coming into today, we actually sold long positions. We mentioned that in our newsletter on Wednesday and went short. Market dipped down intraday today, and we took a little profit on the shorts, and that sort of surprised subscribers considering this bullish scenario we're in. But we got way overdone on Wednesday, and it looked to me like it was going to pull back, and it did. So we do stuff like that too. I'm not a long-term investor. As I mentioned earlier, I consider myself a survivor. We do have ideas that we put out, like I mentioned before, that we thought oil would go up and Bitcoin would go up, and of course you're welcome to take a longer term viewpoint, but I enjoy the shorter term aspects of the market, and having come from a floor trading background decades ago from the Chicago Board Options Exchange, all my teachers and fellow traders pretty much took profits every day and closed out positions, and they would come in every day fresh looking at the markets, looking for trading opportunities. So they viewed it, so the way I look at it, more than an investment perspective, a way of making a living every day in the markets and taking advantage of the volatility. And sure, you can hold some positions and have a bullish perspective on, certain markets and certain stocks and choose to hold some positions. But the general premise is, this is a big cash register, and if you could catch swings in the market on a day or two basis, as well as some, near or longer term plays, why not do it? So having fun here. It'd be pretty boring if I just said I'm going to hold Bitcoin or hold crude oil or hold gold or hold, any number of hot stocks out there without, doing a little bit of trading along the way. So it's part of the game. Better than being at the crap tables in Vegas. It's an intelligent way of making money, and that's sort of what I do.
Cryptocurrencies. Today, Bitcoin had a rough day, but overall, they've been surging. What's the story there?
Well, it's a little overbought. The GBTC, which is the ETF for the Bitcoin, until we get the one approved. They're supposed to convert this to an ETF, that's my understanding. They apply to the SEC, so the GBTC, which is the trust, may turn into an ETF. So we'll see if that happens. It's in front of the SEC, and I believe I read that they got approved. But anyway, you know, you're talking about something that has had a huge move here. You know, I'm trying to pull up the weekly chart as we're talking. I remember it got down to about $8. And let's see, that was, you know, back actually a year ago, November 22nd of last year. And in the last 12 months, it's gone from roughly $8 up to $30. And, you know, it still looks like a bullish chart to me. But, you know, it's had a big move here. And if it pulled back, you know, to the low 20s, currently around 29, 28, it would make a lot of sense to me if you are looking to add to a position. Mm-hmm. But the move, I believe, was triggered primarily by the filing on the part of BlackRock and Larry Fink, who runs BlackRock. And for those of you who are not familiar with BlackRock, they're the largest money manager on the planet, and I don't have the number, but I think it's well over $1 trillion, even multi-trillion dollars. So when they applied for an ETF approval from the Securities and Exchange Commission, that said, you know, Bitcoin is real. I mean, this is the biggest money manager in the planet wanting to have a vehicle to trade Bitcoin without actually going into the crypto market to do it, making a security out of it. So why is that bullish? Well, if you remember a couple of decades ago, the World Gold Council got the GLD ETF approved for gold, and that had a lot to do with the advance that we've seen in gold in the last, you know, 10 or 20 years versus before that GLD came into existence, which is the ticker symbol for the ETF. So once you have an ETF trading, and someone comes in and buys it, they have to go out and buy the physical Bitcoin, or the case in the GLD, the gold, and that helps drive prices up. So there's no question in my mind, you know, I'm not saying you're not going to pull back here first, but the trend for Bitcoin is going to be higher, and probably gold too overall. I mean, gold is still, you know, within striking distance of all-time highs. You know, a couple of good days and you're into new all-time highs there. You know, you look back in the year 2000 when gold was around, what, $200-$300 an ounce, and, you know, it's around just under 2000 in the 1950 area now. So, you know, in the last 20 years, it's had a nice, you know, 10 times advance. And in the next 20 years, if Bitcoin goes up 10 times from where it is now, I mean, you're looking at a Bitcoin trading at $200,000-$300,000 a coin, you know. So I think, you know, the 80,000 level is probably a more realistic one in the next couple of years. So, yeah, just a fun market. Ethereum also, I'm told, is being applied for. That's ETHE, which is the other crypto for another ETF for that. And I think it's also BlackRock making that application. So, you know, the wind's at your back is what I'm trying to say. You know, if you take a position and it goes against you, I would say add to it. You know, if you get a correction, if you're not already in it, or you wait for that correction because the trend is up.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on with crude?
Well, we had a nice little shakeout down around the $73 level. It was in the mid-90s not too long ago. And, you know, to me, it looks like one hell of a buy down here. I'm a big picture bull on the oil market for a lot of reasons. You know, we can talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, fossil fuels have a negative political bent right now. And if there are shortages around the world, though they say economics have slowed and there's less demand for crude oil, I just don't believe the news. I think it's, just a manipulated corrective event. We've had a big run up. It's good for stocks, generally, when crude is trading under the $77, $75 level, and these are just based on superficial studies that I've read. It gives more impetus for stocks to go up because, you know, oil is down, gasoline is lower, it's less of a tax on the consumer, And when, you know, crude oil takes off and gets above the 77 area, over 80, and starts moving again, that could put pressure on stocks. So I guess for the benefit of the year-end rally and the Santa Claus rally and everything that everybody's excited about right now, we all hope that, you know, crude oil stays low because of that inverse, you know, some relationship out there. But just on a fundamental basis and me looking at the overall pattern, I mean, I just think there's a much bigger targets ahead, just like we're talking about Bitcoin at huge numbers. So yeah, I'd be looking at oil stocks in this final quarter of the year, you know, particularly if they continue to be as depressed as they are right now. They're not really depressed. They're just off their highs. And if you think, as I do, that crude could be as high as $200 a barrel the next few years, certainly you want to look at some of these oil stocks, many of which do pay dividends. One of my favorites, which I've talked about numerous times on the show, is Warren Buffett's investment in Occidental Petroleum, OXY. And it's the favorite because I respect Warren Buffett, and he owns 25-26% of the stock. And I just read, and I think we mentioned this last week, that I read some filing that he got approval for acquiring up to 50% of the stock of Occidental Petroleum. So he may do that, and you know, he's one of the biggest money managers and the most successful on the planet. And I also read that he held a huge cash position right now, which is sort of interesting because the stock market's moving up, but he has a cash position of about $157 billion in his Berkshire Hathaway funds. So he has money out there to buy more Occidental Petroleum, and I think he's thinking, as I am, that crude oil is probably going to $200 a barrel, and he's, you know, he's not a short-term trader. And, you know, if Oxy is now trading around $60 a share, you know, when crude oil does that, it could be a, you know, $200 stock in 5 years or 3 years, which is probably his perspective. So, you know, I would say I'm influenced a little bit by what he's doing too. I mean, if he was bearish on oil, as many people are, I don't think he would own 26% of Occidental Petroleum. And I think that's, you know, sort of one of the things you have to look at when you're in this market. You know, what are some smart people doing? What are the charts saying? You know, what does the fundamentals say about the forecast for oil itself in the years ahead? So, but it's right now we're in a little corrective phase into the low 70s. I think the low that we saw here in the last 6 months was around $65 a barrel. It may go back there. I don't think it needs to do that, but, you know, we're getting pretty oversold here. So bottom line is I'd be a buyer of oil stocks when oil is this cheap.
What do you think is going to go on with the U.S. dollar?
Well, it looks like it topped out short term. And yeah, it's helping gold stocks here. By the way, we didn't mention gold. Gold took off again as the dollar, you know, backed off here. But you know, I don't know. You know, I was long the inverse ETF for the dollar, meaning that as the dollar went down, the ETF went up, and it is down. It has looked like it hit a little trading peak, but it's still relatively high. It's not in the cellar by any stretch, and you know, this could just be a correction and we can end up going back up again, particularly if interest rates start to go back up again. And the current view is that interest rates, as I mentioned, you know, the thought is that they've topped out. If that theory is right, then the dollar would probably continue lower for a while. But the chart right now is negative. Got some sellers up there. And we're long the inverse ETF, the ticker symbol UDN. The long one is called UUP, which is one for the bullish dollar going up. But the chart right now says you're in a correction. And we just have to watch to see for a reversal. So that's tied to the fact that, as I mentioned, bonds are starting to rally a little bit. The market's bullish. And, you know, the connection between interest rates and the dollar, you know, indicate that there's less reason to own a dollar right now. So we'll just see how it unfolds. And I guess the bull case would be we want to see the dollar stay weak into the end of the year. The bond market continue to show some resiliency, and that should help commodities in general, gold in particular. And we'll see if that unfolds. The charts say so far that's the pattern, and we'll see if it changes.
Mark, anything else that's caught your eye?
Gee, I think that's about it. I'm just trying to see here if there's anything that really super exciting at the moment. I would say, you know, that's pretty much it. I think you just got to watch the holiday pattern here and see if we get any change. And you know, I'm a little bit more concerned about the market next year. You know, a lot of this could be, you know, a little bit of just short-term optimism and manipulation of the markets. And I would also mention, if I hadn't already, that uranium still looks pretty good. We're still in the uranium stock, so they seem to be still showing a nice uptrend. So that would be something else that we might want to throw in there as a final comment. The big name out there is Cameco, CCJ, which is sort of the blue chip in the sector. So that's making new relative highs and probably still track a little bit higher here into the year end. So that'd be about it, and thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.